Over the last few weeks, we've looked at the inspiration of Scripture. Scripture is breathed out by God. We've looked at the fact that Scripture is completely truthful. And now tonight, we're going to look at the authority of Scripture. We're building on what we've looked at. So Scripture is inspired, it is breathed out by God, and therefore, because God is a God of truth, God who does not lie, it is completely truthful. It is inerrant. It is without error. But tonight, we're going to talk about that it is authoritative. Authoritative. Scripture is authoritative. And that's what I want us to focus on this evening. And we know, as people who live in the culture that we live in today, that authority is not something that we like to talk about all that much, is it? We like to believe, each individual person likes to believe, well, I am the dictator, I am the one who determines where I end up. I am the ultimate authority in my life. One person said it this way: in our day, every individual becomes the author of his own set of values. Each person becomes his own authority. And that sounds somewhat empowering on its surface, but when you think about it, when each person decides what's right and wrong apart from God, we end up in a confused world, we end up in a conflicted world, and we live in a world that is constantly searching for meaning because meaning is always changing. Because if the source of authority and the source of truth comes from within a sinful human being, we're going to be a people, humanity, where things are always changing. There's never going to be a set constant because we change. We change our minds. We change our standard of morality, as we've seen here in just even the last 25, 30 years. But as Christians, we are called to live under a higher authority, right? We're called to live under a higher authority, the Word of God, the Bible. And the Bible is not just advice. This is not just a good way to think about living life. It's God's own Word carrying His authority for every part of our lives. And so to understand why Scripture is authoritative for your life, for my life, for our life as a church together, we need to define, okay, what does that mean? What does it mean that Scripture is authoritative? Well, you'll see there on your handout, the simple definition that I've put there is the authority of Scripture means that all the words in Scripture are God's words in such a way that to disbelieve or disobey any word of Scripture is to disbelieve or disobey God. To disbelieve or disobey any word of Scripture is to disbelieve or disobey God. Now, why is that? Because God, who breathes out His Word, who breathes out the Scripture, He ties up His own authority, what He's saying, what He has said in the Bible. And so if we disobey or don't believe what He has said in His Word, we are going against what He has revealed for us in Scripture. Human authorities may determine rules for many aspects of our outward lives, but Scripture alone has the authority to bind our consciences with respect to doctrine, worship, morality, and conduct. So that's what the authority of Scripture is. It means that all the words in Scripture are God's words in such a way that to disbelieve or disobey any word of Scripture is to disbelieve or disobey God. And as we've done over the last several weeks, we're going to start with Jesus' view. What did Jesus believe about the authority of Scripture? Because if you and I, as followers of Jesus, as those who've been saved by grace through faith in Christ, we should care about what Jesus has to say, right? It was the same thing for the inspiration of Scripture, the same thing for the truthfulness of Scripture, the inerrancy of Scripture, and also the authority of Scripture. So Scripture, Jesus says, Scripture determines or confirms His deity, which means that He is God. He has always been God. He will always be God. Listen to John chapter 10. Listen to what Jesus says there. He says, "I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone Him. Jesus answered him, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered him, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and Scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming,' because I said, 'I am the Son of God'? If I'm not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So Scripture, the Word of God, the Bible, is confirming that Jesus, in fact, is God. Then next we see that Jesus even says himself, he always quotes Scripture. Have you noticed, even when a few weeks ago, as we talked about him being tempted in the wilderness, the response was, have you not read? Have you not read? Have you not read? Jesus himself, by saying that, is pointing back to the authority of Scripture, the authority of the Old Testament Scriptures that they had at this time. Listen to Matthew 21:42-44. He said, have you never read in the Scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Again, he says, have you never read? But then he cites Scripture when he's tempted, again, giving it authority, the authority that it deserves. He cites Scripture when he's tempted. Luke 4:1-13, I'll read a few of the verses. Verse 4, and Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. We know that. Verse 8, and Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Verse 12, and Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And so Jesus, what he's doing here in just these few verses that we've looked at, is he is understanding and he is confirming that Scripture, that the Word of God, is completely authoritative for your life. It was completely authoritative for his life. It's completely authoritative for your life and for mine. But listen to what he did in Luke 4:16-21. Luke 4:16-21. He read the Scripture. Listen to verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And what does it say? He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So in that day, it was custom for people to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and someone was chosen to read the scripture. Well, Jesus, by standing up to read and doing that, was submitting himself to the authority of the Old Testament scriptures. He stood up to read it. And what he read, I think, is also very ironic because it was a prophecy about him from Isaiah. And then he says at the very end, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So as we saw a few weeks ago, Jesus not only believed that scripture was inspired by God, was breathed out by God, but he also believed that it was completely truthful and reliable. And now we're seeing, as we're looking at it from this angle this evening, that scripture is completely authoritative as well. He submitted himself to the authority of scripture. And so our view of the authority of Scripture, just like the inerrancy and just like the inspiration, it begins with what Jesus viewed Scripture as. And so next I want you to see some affirmations of this doctrine, some core truths of what it means that the Bible is authoritative. First, the authority of Scripture comes from the fact that it is inspired by God. And if all these doctrines, if all these truths feel connected to you, it's because they are. You need all of them because they all work together because the Bible teaches all of them. Scripture's authority comes from its inspiration. Because Scripture has God as its author, it possesses divine authority. Divine authority. Listen to Deuteronomy 30:16-18. This is Moses writing. He says, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear them, but are drawn to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're going over the Jordan to enter and possess. So again, you see, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, who's saying that? Moses. Moses is giving the commandments of God to the people of Israel. Moses is speaking on behalf of God, giving these commandments to God's people. So because what Moses is saying is from God, it is authoritative. Scripture's authority comes from its inspiration. But also, we see the inherent authority of Scripture, the inherent authority of Scripture. So the Bible has authority in and of itself because it's from God, not because you or I give it authority. Does that make sense? The Bible has authority because it comes from God, whether or not we acknowledge it or not. So for people who do not believe in Christ, who are not Christians, who have not submitted themselves to the will of God and repented of their sins and trusted in Christ, the Bible still has authority. It's not whether we think it does or whether it doesn't. Because if the God of the universe, again, if he breathed out, if he inspired this Bible that you and I have, it would make complete sense that regardless of if we acknowledge it or not, it's still authoritative for our lives. The Bible has an authority in itself because it comes from God, not because we give it authority. I mean, just think about it. As a parent, everybody knows at least how it works in some way or another, whether we've seen it or we are parents. A parent has inherent authority by virtue that they are a parent, right? You have authority over your child because you are a parent. It's the same way. A parent has inherent authority based on his or her status as a parent. It's not something that was earned. It's not something that it can go away. Every illustration breaks down at some point. But at the same time, the Bible has authority in itself because it comes from God, not because we give it authority. Our view of God and our view of the Bible are interrelated. Because if we believe the God of the Bible, who is completely truthful, who loves us, who sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, again, it would be right and good and make complete biblical sense for the people of God to respond by saying, yes, this Bible, the Word of God, has authority over our lives. I mean, even think about it. Jesus said he did nothing on his own authority. He denied that he spoke his own words on his own authority. Listen to John 8:28, what he says there. He says, so Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. So again, he's pointing back, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who took on human flesh, is pointing back to, I'm not doing what I want to do. I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm doing it on behalf of God, the Father, the first person of the Trinity. John 14:10, he says this, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. So Jesus is saying, I didn't do anything on my own authority. I am here to do the Father's will, to submit to him and do what he has sent me here to do, what I volunteered to do. Jesus also affirmed that the Father dwelt in him and did his work, as we just saw. He emphasized that his words were not his own, but those of the Father who sent him. Listen to John 7:16-18. Jesus answered them, My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood. Then listen to John 14:10. We just read it. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. So Jesus affirmed that the Father dwelt in him and did his work. And he emphasized that his words were not his own and what he was doing was because of the authority given him by his Father. And also, we need to know that the work of the Holy Spirit was his inspiration of Scripture as he superintended the apostles as they wrote the New Testament. Their God-breathed words, then, are the Father's authoritative words through Jesus' authoritative words taught by the Spirit. So do you see that the Father, Son, and Spirit all have a role in the authority of Scripture? The Father breathes it out, the Son comes and does what he is told by his Father. He does it not on his own authority, but on the Father's authority, and then we are taught by the Spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 13. Paul writes this. He says, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." So again, the Bible has authority because it comes from God the Father. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, came to earth, took on flesh, affirmed that the Father dwelt within him and did what he was commanded by the Father. And the Spirit is also teaching us through Jesus' authoritative words. So those are reasons that the Bible, that Scripture, has inherent authority. But also, I want us to think about for a second the Old Testament. So we often think about, Christians often think about, okay, the New Testament, the Old Testament, how do they relate? That's a loaded question that we could get into for a long time. Jesus is the center of the Bible, though, and in him, all of God's promises find their yes and amen. But in the Old Testament, prophets, the Old Testament prophets, they spoke and wrote with divine authority. You can look at that in Deuteronomy 1, verse 3, and Isaiah 66, 1. And also, the apostles who wrote the New Testament quoted the Old Testament about 300 times and alluded to the Old Testament about 1,000 times. So what that tells me, and that what that tells you, and that's what that's told Christians for many, many years, is that the New Testament writers, those who wrote the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, the Apostle Peter, and so on it goes, they regarded the Old Testament, what had been written before and inspired by God, as completely authoritative. If you didn't think that the Old Testament was authoritative or that it mattered for Christians, which you and I wouldn't be here if not for the Old Testament, if you didn't think it mattered or had any value, why would you quote it 300 times or allude to it 1,000 times? That is implying that the Old Testament, which is still Christian scripture for us today, still completely authoritative for us today, was completely authoritative in that time and therefore is still for us today. The third major affirmation that I want you to see is something called sola scriptura. This is from a phrase that was cultivated and created during the Reformation. How many of you guys have ever heard that sola scriptura before? Okay, it just basically means scripture alone. Scripture alone. Scripture alone. That's all it means. And in the Reformation, the authority of Scripture was one of the most contested doctrines in this time in history. And it was really a major movement in the 16th century in Western Europe that sought to reform the church because so many foundational Christian doctrines and practices had been lost. They had been strayed from what Scripture and the early church fathers had taught. Anybody heard of Martin Luther before? Nailed 95 theses to the church door at Wittenberg in 1517 with problems he had with the Roman Catholic Church because the Roman Catholic Church, as we'll talk about here in a second, was going beyond Scripture. They were adding things to Scripture like indulgences. And an indulgence was something that the Catholic Church offered that claimed to reduce the punishment for sins either for yourself or someone else after you were forgiven. People were told that by doing certain good works or even by paying money, they could spend less time being punished for their sins after death. The Reformation was not just about Protestants and Catholics, though it was about certain issues that created the divide between the two. The authority of Scripture was the justification by faith alone, through grace alone, and Christ alone was the central tenet, but that also is paired with the authority of Scripture and sola scriptura. And so sola scriptura means that Scripture alone is the ultimate authority for the church. Sola scriptura means that Scripture and Scripture alone is the ultimate authority for the church. Now that sounds good, right? And you would probably sit here and say, yes, that makes complete sense, because we as Christians, as people who embrace Christ through faith, it makes sense that the Word of God would be our sole authority. That makes sense to me logically. But there are other people that don't necessarily think that way, which we'll talk about that in a second. Anything that lacks biblical warrant cannot be authoritative for the church. No belief or practice lacking biblical support can bind your conscience as a Christian. And so we've seen the major affirmations of the authority of Scripture. Scripture's authority comes from its inspiration. Second, the inherent authority of Scripture. And third, sola scriptura. Scripture alone is the ultimate authority for the church. So, we understand Scripture is completely authoritative for you, for me, for our church. Yes, I would hope you would say that by now. Scripture alone is our authority. But with knowing that Scripture is our ultimate authority, we need to know about some things that we should avoid. Some major errors to avoid. The first one is incorrect contemporary views of the authority of Scripture. Incorrect contemporary views of the authority of Scripture. Some people say, because the Bible functions in a certain way, Scripture leads to salvation, it equips believers for godly living, it instructs Christians in sound doctrine, it's authoritative, or it is authoritative. And that sounds good, and it's somewhat correct. The second view is because God uses the Bible as a means to reveal Himself to His people, Scripture is a means of divine communication, and therefore it is authoritative. The third view, because the church bestows authority on the Bible, I hope some alarm bells are going off, because that's not correct. Because the church bestows authority on the Bible, the church acknowledges and proclaims that Scripture possesses authority. It is authoritative. Fourth, because the Bible has always held a high place of honor in Christianity, Scripture is its founding holy book and has always been at the heart of the church's liturgy. It is authoritative. Those views, while they may have some aspects of truth within them, are incomplete. Biblical authority is not because the Bible functions in a certain way. It's not because the Bible is instrumental in a certain way. It's not because the church deems that the Bible has authority. It's not because the Bible has always held a high place of honor. The reason that the Bible is authoritative is because it is God's very word. That's the reason. It's not because of any other reason other than that. There are certain aspects of truth in that, and there are certain aspects of things that are false. But you need to know those things, because those are some major errors to avoid. The second major error to avoid would be a rejection of the inspiration of Scripture, which would ultimately mean, if you deny that the Bible is inspired by God, what does that mean? You would deny that the Bible has authority. Third, a neglect or denial of Scripture alone, or sola scriptura. Some people place other authority alongside Scripture and consider it to be authoritative as, or more authoritative than, Scripture. I told you we were going to talk about Roman Catholicism just because you need to know this. But there was a reason that there was a split in the 16th century between what we would be, Protestants, and the Roman Catholics. So Roman Catholics believe that the authority consists of Scripture, tradition, and their magisterium. All that means, that's a fancy word for the Pope and the bishops. Those three things: Scripture, tradition, and their magisterium. Alarm bells should be going off for you. That's what they believe. That's what they've always believed. Tradition is Christ's unwritten teaching that He orally communicated to His apostles, who then communicated it to their successors, bishops. Roman Catholics believe that tradition, that this unwritten oral teaching is on par with Scripture. There's no biblical warrant for that anywhere. Second, the magisterium, popes and bishops, Those people are the official interpreter of Scripture and authoritative interpreter of tradition. Therefore, the Catholic Church denies sola scriptura as Scripture, tradition, and the Pope and bishops make up its authority. So there's a reason why you and I are Protestants. There's a reason. This is not something that I think a lot of people are aware of when you think about those things, because it's just not something that's talked about. And this is not a Roman Catholic, I'm not trying to be a jerk or be mean. I'm just trying to tell you what they believe and what they've always believed. So the Protestant view is that Scripture and Scripture alone is the authority. Scripture and Scripture alone. Not tradition, Scripture, and the popes and bishops. That is a departure from what Christians, historic Christianity, has always taught. And so those are some major errors to avoid. An incorrect contemporary view of the authority of Scripture. Second, rejection of the inspiration of Scripture, leading to a denial of inherent biblical authority. And then third, neglect or denial of sola scriptura. And so how do we apply that? There's a lot there. How do we apply that? What does that look like for you, for me, as members of May First Baptist Church, as a part of this church family? First, believe what God says in His Word, not what people say. What we believe as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians who believe in salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, none of that originates with me or you. That comes directly out of the Scriptures. We base what we believe on the Scriptures, not what people say. If you have somebody tell you, well, I believe this about God, but they can't make a biblical rationale for it, that should concern you. Not saying that every single person should be able to draw every Christian truth out of thin air at any single time. There's nobody that can do that because we forget things. But if you say, I believe this, but I have no biblical warrant for it, that should be concerning for you. Because what we believe about God ought to come from His Word. Second, live by God's Word, submitting to what it says is right and wrong, and live according to its ethical standards. So Scripture not only tells you how to be saved, it does. It tells you to trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. But Scripture also says how to live, how we should act, how we should conduct ourselves in the world, right? There are lots of do's and don'ts. Why? To earn salvation? No. But because we have been saved. Because we have been saved, we live in a certain way, and Scripture tells us how we are to live in that sense. Third, we should organize and lead our church according to what the Scripture teaches. Some people don't think the Bible has a lot to say about how churches should function, what they are, what they do. The Scripture tells us how we as a local church are to organize ourselves, what we are to do, who we are, what having pastors and deacons and all those different things. The Scripture has something to say about how the local church family, the family of God, assembled in different locations, operates. Now, there are different people that disagree on those things, right? As there are in many situations in evangelicalism today. You have certain people that believe that the congregation should never have any authority, and so the pastors make all the decisions. There are other people like us who are Baptists who believe that the congregation has the final authority. There are certain people that differ about, you know, other different topics in the church, but the church, the reasoning that we should organize and lead our church according to the Scripture is because the Bible has something to say about it. If you want to read more about what the Bible says about the church, go read 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Those are the pastoral epistles that Paul writes to Timothy, a young pastor at the church at Ephesus, and then Titus, a young pastor on the island of Crete. Those are good places to start there. Fourth, check teaching and traditions against the Bible. How do we apply the authority of Scripture? Check all teaching and tradition against the Bible. You should check what I say to make sure it's biblical, because I don't have any authority. The only authority a pastor has or a teacher has is, are they accurately teaching the Bible? Are they accurately teaching the Bible? So you should check all teaching and traditions against the Bible. And just because we've done things in any church, not just our church, but let's just say any church, we may have these different traditions that we like doing. And I'm not saying necessarily that doing the same thing all the time is necessarily even a bad thing. But we should be willing always to think, okay, does that tradition make sense? For example, not to be controversial, because this isn't controversial, but we have a Christmas Eve service. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to do. Are you prescribed to do it in the Bible? No. Is it a bad thing to do? No, because what are you doing? You're celebrating the birth of Christ. So it's one of those things where certain churches do it, certain churches don't do it. You're not in sin if you don't do it, but you should check and stop and press pause for a moment and think, why do we do what we do? Is it biblical, or is it just a tradition that we do? So we should check our teaching and traditions against the Bible. And then fifth, I've said this a lot, I'll say it again, read and study Scripture regularly to grow closer to God. If Scripture is inspired by God, if it's completely truthful, and it's completely authoritative, you and I, as the people of God, as people who've been saved by grace through faith, should commune with God in His Word. So, for application, believe what God says, not what people say. Live by God's Word, submitting to what it says is right and wrong. Live according to its ethical standards. Organize and lead our church according to Scripture, and check our teaching and traditions against the Bible, and read and study Scripture regularly to grow closer to God. So let me pray, and then I'm happy to answer any questions that you guys may have. Father, we thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your word. We're reminded every week of how valuable it is and how you've revealed yourself to us in it. Help us to be a people who conform our thoughts, our minds, and our lives to Scripture. Help us be people of the book who love your word, who cherish your word, and who share the gospel with the world around us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.